In the past hour and 15 minutes, we have gone from the walking mall gathering with all of the other downtown Christian communities of faith where we gathered and raised our palms and shouted out hosannas and singing praises to our Lord. An hour and 15 minutes later, we've killed him. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. This Sunday is, emotionally speaking, the most bizarre Sunday you will ever encounter in the life of the Christian community. And I wish I could say that it was something that was planned. Instead, what you have is one tradition that bumped into another tradition. As is the case, traditions refuse to give to one another, and so they stuck the two together, and we get our liturgy of Palm Sunday. And so we have ourselves today engaging in a story taking us from highs to lows where we have betrayal, we have bribery, we have political corruption, we have confusion, misdirection, denial, failure of loyalty, cruelty, murder or execution, depends how you look at the death of Jesus, and finally, a good old-fashioned conspiracy to cover everything up and try and explain things away. The tragedy being on this Sunday, it is perhaps one of the most honest Sundays on the brokenness of the human condition that we ever have. To think it absurd that communities can go from such highs to such lows, that is not absurd at all. How often do we see ourselves where we are fair weather, when it's wonderful, when things are going our way, as we go and wave our palms as if to say, look at us, we have God on our side, rather than think about it as actually God is one who claims us first, and God is claiming us to be his. But because we claim God on our side when God's not doing what we want, well, let's get rid of that God and find another one. It doesn't take us long. And it's in this community's witness of faith, understanding that profound struggle of how broken we are, that it also gives us profound sadness, but in many ways not shock, when we continue to see within the different faith traditions of the world, as we struggle to try and understand how it is that we encounter the living God, that still we see people willing to go and have destruction and bombs where they will attack on days of religious importance to other communities of faith, as is what has happened again in Egypt. For us to be aware of that part of ourselves, not so that we are able then to somehow make ourselves feel better, but rather to mature and draw on a deeper understanding of what it is that God is revealing in Jesus, whom we call Lord, which we in turn are called to exemplify in our lives, in the world around us. And it's quite clear because of that confrontation in the garden when the one follower of Jesus draws his sword and cuts off the ear of Caiaphas's his bodyguard. Jesus' reaction is not one of good. Revenge is sweet. Instead, it is put it away. What Jesus is revealing to us to understand about God is that it is not intended to be that very deep human primal emotion of retaliation. Instead, it's something different. And in order to understand that something different, we engage in that journey of faith which we have encountered in our Lord's life and in his ministry and in his healings and in his teaching and in his preaching and his invitation of people into relationship with God. But then also for us to understand that that is something that we are not given for us to keep to ourselves, but then what does that mean for us? And over the next week, as we move from Palm Sunday through the events of Holy Week, there is a real sacramental understanding which you can only get, I believe, by encountering the different liturgies of Holy Week, to begin to understand how it is that we are called to live into this Christian witness. to be aware that what we talk about in Maundy Thursday, when we talk about the gift of this sacrament, this outward and visible sign of God's love, which is revealed in the bread, breaking of the bread, and in the sharing of the cup, it's into that Eucharistic mystery that we understand that we are nurtured and fed, not then so we go on with life as normal, but rather so that we engage in that act of what it is to be people who not only drink of the cup and break bread together, but then wash feet. And even further, and in a more deeper way, with the understanding of our sacrament of baptism, that act which brings us into the community of faith in the first place. It is one of those wonderful conversations that we often bump into when people will say, well, I don't deserve to be baptized, why should I? When the good news is, you're right, you don't, but you really ought to. Not because of what we do, but because of who God is. And so in that Easter vigil, which goes and prepares us for that mysterious event, which is where we bump into this conspiracy, we need to be careful not to think that because we are in the 21st century and this encounter that we read this morning comes from long ago, that we not think too highly of our intellectual selves. To think that, well, they didn't know back then what we know about the human condition. They knew a good conspiracy just as well as we do. And we live in a culture that is absolutely eating up every conspiracy that we can get because it helps to try and blind us or stop us from considering something or challenge the ability to just try and take something for as it is and make it more comfortable. We'll find another way to understand this. When we were down at the walking mall, it was really a wonderful moment, which none of you got to see. This is the one advantage of when you're standing up at the front and looking back. And there was somebody I'd never seen before taking their morning jog behind this cast of hundreds of people and running along and heard us doing our readings and singing our hymn, and she stopped. And she looked as if to say, what in God's name are these people doing? And the reality is that may have been her question. And yet she stayed and watched for a while. I was curious how long she'd last. Would she make it to the rest of the liturgy and maybe get caught up in the fanfare going back to some church somewhere? She didn't. She kept on running. But for us to understand, when people encounter the Christian faith, they don't have some background experience quite often to help shape their understanding of what they are seeing or in what they are participating. So for us to be aware, the great thing about the conspiracy is it can try and simplify and push things away. In the Gospel of Matthew, they knew one of the oldest ways to make sure that we can try and distract the ability for a community that cannot understand what is going on is to create a simple narrative, a conspiracy to say, well, we know what really happens. The only thing that happens is after the death of Jesus, they stole his body. And Matthew's gospel is being quite honest. It may have been a conversation that went on. In fact, there are those that is probably what they believed happened. So why would Matthew put that into his own gospel? It is for us to consider that why question that's so important. For us to understand that in the events of Holy Week, we've seen the betrayal before. We know of the struggle that we have in trying to follow God, and when we don't like it, we'll take another God and go a different route. We know of the struggles that happens when issues of faith bump into issues of human power and how human power does not like to be told what to do. We know about the ability of institutions to kill others. We know about the ability for faith communities to kill one another. We know all of that. So for us to understand what Matthew has done with this conspiracy is to put it squarely before the community as you engage in the events of Holy Week to consider. What the conspiracy says is they take the body, they put it into the tomb in order to make sure it stays put. They put a stone in place, and they put guards in front of the tomb. If that's the case, then perhaps Matthew wants us to consider something else. That the significance of the events of Holy Week, which lead into the Paschal mystery of Easter, should challenge us to consider, is the point of the story that the tomb is empty, or is the point of the story something more? Blessed be the name of God. Amen.